We're up to Perek. Perek Mem Hey Pasik Yud Pasik Tas. Perek Mem Hey. This is not working. What happened? It's working. Perek Mem Hey Pasik Tas. Koyamar Hashem Elokim. Rav Lachem Nisya Yisrael. Over here, we're going to learn about new sections. It's a little bit difficult. Not all that difficult. About different measurements. There are many opinions as to what the Pesukim here are trying to teach us. It's going to teach us about various measurements and various gifts that should be given to someone. Who is this someone? So there are many, and how often are these gifts to be given? So I'll just throw out all the information now. There are many opinions. One opinion is that we're just reviewing the basic laws of Tshuma. Tshuma and Meiser, what you're supposed to give to the Kohen and the Levi. Really the Kohen. Some say that this pasuk is not dealing with the Kohen, it's dealing with the Kohen Gadol. That when there are certain gifts he's supposed to give, which are basically similar to Truma and Maisa, you give to the Kohen Gadol. And some say, no, we're not dealing with the Kohen Gadol, we're dealing with the Melech. That when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a whole new order, a whole new set of rules, is that the people are going to be giving gifts to the Melech, in this case the Melech HaMashiach, and after the Melech HaMashiach, all future descendants of the Melech, basically as taxes. Okay, now the question is it a tax? Is it holy? Is it holy like Mishulchan Gvorka Zachu that has the same status of Kedusha? It's not so clear. And the third opinion, which was the Radak. The Radak says this was a one-time gift to the Melech HaMashiach.
Why would there be a Kedusha?
I don't know, because the Pesukim describe it with words of holiness, which would seem to say that the Melech will receive a gift the same way a Kohen receives a gift. Now, just like
the Melech HaMashiach?
Yeah, the Melech HaMashiach, and I guess subsequently all of his descendants also have the same status as the Melech HaMashiach. It's a very bizarre idea. This goes back to the question that we dealt with a few days ago, and that are the rules of the game going to change when Mashiach comes? When Mashiach comes, are there going to be a new order, a new set of mitzvahs? And as we mentioned also, even though we know the halachas that we learn to say animamins, the ninth animam, the Torah is not going to be changed. So that just means it's not going to be anything brand new. Or we're not going to negate any mitzvah. But there are going to be enhancements to pre-existing mitzvahs. So there's a mitzvah of Truma Meiser that will just be extended to the Melech HaMashiach. Or other things along that one, but we're not going to be mevatel any mitzvah. We're just going to add new, not even going to add new mitzvahs. It's just going to enhance pre-existing mitzvahs to include other categories or other details, something along those lines. Rashi tends to shy away from that. Rashi consistently always tries to read the pasuk backwards to mean that there's nothing new. This is just more of the same. And it's just describing what's going to be. And the difficulty with Rashi, when Rashi tries to do that, Rashi has to stretch very, very much the translation of the Pesukim and the interpretation of the Pesukim, because the Pesukim really lend themselves to the approach that things indeed will be different in the time of Mashiach. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. So we learned yesterday is that we're going to give the Melech HaMashiach. This is also very, very new. We never had this. The Melech HaMashiach is going to get a portion of the land. Then time of the Bais Rishon, time of the Bais Yesheni, the Melech HaMashiach did not get any land. The land, no such thing. The land was given, it was Sheva Yehuda, and that was it. The Sheva Yehuda got a piece of the land, but the Melech had no special land. And Yerushalayim, he had a palace. He had a palace, what?
Yeah, but they had a
palace, but it wasn't land. It was just a home. He was given, that was the only thing he was given. It's not even in the Torah. That's not even the Torah. Soim Tosim Lechamelech doesn't say you have to give him money. He wasn't given any money. He was given a palace. He had a palace when there were taxes. It was Dina de Malchus Dina. It was a different framework. It was not in the framework of anything that was ordained.
Okay, in the second government, democracy, but
over here there's something we learned yesterday, something very, very new, that over here Yecheskel is coming to sanction Medina Hashem. Know that the Melech HaMashiach, one person, and I guess his descendants are going to be given a massive chunk of land, this is something we never had before. And now, why the pasuk we learned yesterday, the last pasuk Chesol, is the reason why Hashem is giving this, so that it should not be corrupt. Because in the past, when the kings got nothing, so how did they live? They taxed the people. It was a matter of taxes. the system of government, it's not exactly clear. It's not exactly clear the system of government. But there was corruption because the Melech HaMashiach needed to come on to the goodwill of the people. There was a greed, there was corruption, and that led to a lot of trouble. So here it says in the pasuk that when Mashiach will come, they're going to get their own land. There'll be no longer an excuse for the king to extort, steal, and become corrupt. And that's when now the pasuk text goes on to elaborate upon Koy Amar Hashem Elokim Rav Lochem Nisya Yisrael. Koy Amar Hashem Elokim Rav Lochem Nisya Yisrael. It's enough. It's enough of the kings. Chamas, Vashod, violence. Shod is theft, extortion. I'm not really exactly sure the difference in these two words. Hasiru, you shall desist.
Shod is like Shodei.
To plunder. To plunder. Chamas, Vashod, Hasiru, you shall remove. Umishpat, Vitztok Asu. And you shall do Mishpat, Vitztok Asu. Harimu Girusho Seichem Alami, you shall remove the Girusho Seichem. The Girusho means this, that you've driven out. Another expression of corruption. Your conduct has caused people to be driven out of the land, maybe even deliberately. You wanted their property, so you drove them out of the land in your greed, in your desire to possess property. Girusho Seichem Alami, Nu'um Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem. Okay, let's see if we have the positive in the Mitzvah's positive test in the Mitzvah's David. So here it's Koyam Hashem Elokim. Okay, and then it says Nu'um Hashem. Very interesting. I didn't notice that. Very, very good. That's a very interesting point. Anytime you have a pasuk where it says Hashem Elokim, Hashem's name, anything, they have the same beginning, same end, that right away is a stop sign. The classic example is Kriya Shema. Every single day we say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then we go on to say Asher Tzeis Yeschem Yeretz Shem Liyoslechem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Okay, so we begin with the same words, we end with the same words. That structure is a very powerful structure. It's rare. It's rare. What? No, I think those exact words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. But there are other pasuk. We had not so long ago. We actually discussed. We had not so long ago a pasuk over here where, when the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk end with the same words.
Rokeach loves to point those out.
Who?
Rokeach. To point those out.
That is a statement. That is a very powerful statement. That causes us to awakens us to the meaning. And you're right. I didn't notice that. So here he's making a very powerful statement. And watch out, the kings. You better watch out. And it starts off Ani Hashem Elokeichem in the beginning. Hashem, now it's not exactly what we call Mar. I mean, it starts with the words Koyamar, and the pasuk just concludes with Nu'um. It's interesting. It's not exactly Koyamar, which really is Nu'um. It's really the same thing. Koyamar and Nu'um, to a certain degree, are the same idea. Okay, it's a very good point. I guess Hashem is coming to emphasize, watch out. I'm watching, and I'm not going to tolerate corruption in the time of Mashiach. This is something which is very, very important. Let's see the Mitzvah's pasuk test. Rav lochem nisiyah yisrael atem amolochem shayisem kodim lachorben hinei zman rav hayu lochem masha hoy neisem va'ashaktem esami. The kings before the Chorban bayis rishayin were corrupt, and for generations you have extorted, you have stole from my people. Aval ato now hasidu es achomes v'shayin, and now I want you to stop, cease and desist. The asum mishpat mitztaka, you have to be honest.
You know, I don't know if there's any connection. The same expression is used by Korach.
By Korach? Rav lochem. Oh, Rav lochem b'nei Levi. Very good. Very, very good. Right. So why does it say the word Rav lochem? It's a reference to Korach. Korach, he got a little arrogant. The kings get carried away. Interesting point. Very good point. I don't know. Right. Okay. Okay, Harim, now what's the next words? The next words in the Mitzudos are Harimu, correct, Harimu, Mitzudos David, Harimu, Hafrishu me alami. Stop, I want you to remove the taxes, me alami, from my people. Masha Yisim, I'm sorry, Amisim. So the Mitzudos David says taxes. It does not say those words explicitly in the Pasuk. It's coming to inject the word Misim into the Pasuk. Harimu, you shall abolish taxes, Masha Yisem Gorshim, because by imposing high taxes, people would leave the country in droves, like we see today. Right? We see today, it's a very big problem here in New York, I don't know, maybe it's changed, but in New York, there was a tikkun in New York State, people were leaving in droves. They were going to New Jersey, going to Connecticut.
Yeah, there is New Jersey. Yeah,
Not anymore. Money more, but they were going to other states because you cannot live. You cannot live. The tax are just impossible. What do you have to have? What do you have to have? And until they woke up and they realized the revenue they're losing from not having these businesses in these places is just causing the city, the state to bleed to death. So it's a very. It's this is nothing new. And even the country itself. I mean, there are many people who go and they renounce their citizenship, not just because they don't agree with the policies of the country. It's because of money, pure money. If they're not a citizen of the United States, then they can do certain things with their assets, and they're not subject to taxes, and they can be a lot richer. So this is an old concept that when you come in to abuse people by imposing upon them unreasonable taxes, it causes gerush. It caused the people to be driven out of the land. Yes, we mentioned that yesterday.
Right.
We mentioned that yesterday. That is exactly the issue when Shlomo Melech died and Rechavim took his reins. So he had two sets of advisors, the old timers and the young people, the young Haaretz. So the young people, the yuppies, they said, go down hard on the people, high taxes, raise the taxes, and let them know who's the boss.
The old conservatives.
And the old timer says that's not the way it's going to work. You have to now is the time to go to be even more generous than your father Shlomo. And Rechavim made the fatal mistake. He listened to the young, did not listen to the old, and that was caused the split. Yeravim ben Nevat took 10 shvatim, and they seceded from the nation. Okay, there was a civil war. The Mamash seceded, and that was the beginning of the Chorban. That was the two kingdoms, Malchi Yehuda versus Malchi Yisrael. Exactly. So here Hashem is saying, I don't want this to happen again. And therefore, we're going to have a precaution. The precaution of going to give you land. The Melech HaMashiach is going to be supported. There's nothing he needs. He has his own property. He does not need to impose taxes upon the people, and therefore, it will prevent it from becoming corrupt. Rashi says, Harimu Giru Sho Seichem, Salkuma Eshatem, Salku you shall remove Eshatem, this and you cause Migorshim Esami Minachalosam, this you cause people to be driven out from their inheritance. I guess he's learning similar to what it says in Mitzudos, is that stop your policies. He doesn't say the word taxes. But he means the your policies and all affiliated things which cause people to be driven out of the land. Okay, now we come to a very important pasuk.
But the idea, at least from what I see from Rashi,
yeah,
is that the king would just take over property that had belonged to people's inheritance.
Eminent domain. Eminent domain.
Eminent or not so eminent domain.
Corruption.
Eminent.
Okay, so the is more delicate.
Therefore, the people were evicted
for no good reason. They were evicted. It was corruption. So Mitzvah is much more delicate. He adds, injects es hamisim, taxes. Rashi leaves out the word taxes. He just says this, that you are megarshim. You drive them out. How do you drive them out? Well, you just evict them, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Okay, maybe. Well, maybe it means that you're more sophisticated. You cause them.
You make them
uncomfortable. You make them uncomfortable. That you're giving them money. You just make them uncomfortable. You just make their lives uncomfortable. It's a very, very common thing. Technique is that when you don't like someone, you just make them very uncomfortable. And on their own, they leave. What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything to you. You left. You're the one who left. I didn't do anything to you. You can't blame me. Yeah, that's right. I can't blame you. But Hashem knows what you did. Hashem knows that you created an environment that was very, very...
Coercive.
Not even coercive, but you make a very uncomfortable. People have in the workplace, you don't like an employee, so you just make it very uncomfortable for him. You don't give him any backup, you don't give him assistance, and you make it very uncomfortable, so he should leave on his own. Maisim b'chol yom, b'chol eis, u'b'chol sha'ah. Right? And then, with COVID also, like people who work in a law firm, you don't make partner. You work there for a number of years, and they pass you over partner. I'm not firing you, you can stay here. No one's firing you, so why are you leaving? I'm insulted. You pass me over partner. So I'm insulted. That's the mitzias. That's how it goes.
Well, in New York, you have a doctrine called appointment at will. And you can fire anybody anytime except the discrimination, gender, race, age, etc. Other than that, you can fire anybody.
I know you can do it, but you're not going to be able to get a new employee so quickly. If you go to you and fire someone like a big firm, I know there's lawyers, is very true. I know some there are a lot of websites. There are a lot of like all the big law firms. Let's say for argument's sake in New York City there are 100 big law firms. There are some that are really really heavy duty, and then there are the lightweight ones, the medium and the lightweight ones. Still, let's say 100. There are a number of blogs. which engage in discussing what's going on in all the law firms. When one law firm decides to give a bonus, almost instantly all the other law firms give a bonus.
Right. Right.
When one law firm lays off, they can lay off people, all the other ones lay off. And every single lawyer, anyone who is a lawyer in these like top 100 law firms, which you're dealing with like tens of thousands of people, they read this every single day. This is like the gossip. This is their blood life. They're like two, three, four, five of these websites. And like, I know they go on these sites every single day, all the gossip, what happened, and this partner left, and this one this, and this one did, and all the benefits, the perks, and the going rate, the salaries, v'chulu, v'chulu. So you're going to fire an employee for no good reason. Just, this guy, I don't like the color of his shirt. Okay, I don't like what he looks like, and you fire him. It's on the blog. No. So you're saying in New York City you can do it.
No. Being an employee at will is exactly the definition. But you can't just fire somebody because.
Why not? You think that's the law? Yeah. You think that's the law?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
You tell your wife to come and you get rid of them. That's
I'll
you
give
you
an
have
example.
No. You example can't is grieve. It's not a city job.
Right. And the city job you can't fire. You cannot.
Yeah, you can grieve it. You could do this. You could do right. that. You say it's unfair. They got to have a hearing. You want a hearing?
Somebody goes
on vacation. Goodbye.
You get stuck on an airplane. He comes back a day late.
Yeah.
You could fire him.
Okay, so fine. For no good reason. They're going to fire him. Okay. So what's going to happen? The first thing is, I'm talking about like the network of law firms. The first thing is, it's going to be on the blog. It's going to be the top story. This law firm, the bunch of Rishoim, the law is the law. It's mutter 100% to do so. It's mutter, permitted. But they just fired me for no good reason. The bunch of nasty, wicked people. So now, when they go to recruit, they're coming, right. These law firms, they're trying to recruit the best, the cream of the crop. The best graduates from the best schools. So right away, I don't want to apply for this law firm. If I have an offer from another law firm, I don't want this law firm has a reputation as being nasty people. So there are laws, you're right, and then there is the Asis HaYosha VeHataiv, and especially today in the modern world where everything is the big global village and everything is posted about the Anva Eda. So you're not gonna do it so quickly. So I'm just saying over here is Rashi over here, you're right. So Mukhalis over here, Salkwish, Ashtem Megarshim. So the king just, I don't care, I'm the boss here, get lost, get out. I like your feel. Okay, but the king is not gonna get a good rap. You know, in the United Nations, in the League of Nations, you wanna have also a good reputation. Reputation also stands for something. The Keser Shem Toiv Oile Al Gabehem. It's not only a Jewish principle, this is a principle in the world. And therefore, if you're just going to go drive someone out, it's not. So obviously, Rashi has to mean something similar. It has to be that Rashi means something similar to the system. The stuff is, you'll go and you'll do things to cause them to die. And actually, I was talking to someone this morning about, I'll give you an example. I was talking to someone this morning about, in the parish, Avraham Avinu, he goes to the Plishtim. And they say to him, who is this woman? So Yitzhak goes to Plishtim and he says, oh no, who's this woman? They're probably going to think it's my, if I say it's my wife, they're going to kill me. So I'm going to lie. I'm going to say it's my sister. So the people over here, then what happens? That's a very good question. Then what happens? What happens is they go, and so Avimelech takes her. And then he realizes that really it's his. No, he doesn't take it. He almost takes it because he sees Vayashkeit Barachaloin, and he sees it really there, his wife. So he has tainus on Yitzchak. Yitzchak, why didn't you tell me? Because you know what would have happened? I was going to take her for myself, and then I would have sinned. I would have committed a very great sin. I would have been living with an Eshes Ish. all of a sudden Avimelech is such a tzaddikol, such a religious person, talis and tefillin, and he says, I would have done such a terrible avera, and it's all your fault because you did not warn me that this woman is an Eishes Ish. So what was the alternative? The alternative is Avraham should have said the truth. This is my wife. And then what would Avimelech have done? He would have killed Avraham. Vaharguni, it says Beferish. If I would have told you this, you would have killed me. Yitzhak is a liar. Vaharguni al Devar Ishti. So here, Yitzhak is not lying. That's what would have happened. They would have killed him. So what's going on here? Avimelech is worried about Gili Arayis, but he's not worried about Shlichas Damim. My high. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? What kind of crazy society is this? So I told him this answer, and I didn't realize that he's saying over here, I says, when it says Zaharguni, it doesn't mean they would have taken out a gun and shot him on the spot. It means, I made a joke, I said they would have given him the best shtela in, making the Rosh Hashiva of Eretz Pelishtim. And the Balabatim would drive him so crazy, he would kill himself, commit suicide. They wouldn't kill, I said, it would be just like David and Uriah. When David wanted Bathsheba, so he didn't go kill Uriah. He sent Uriah to the front lines, right, to die indirectly. So the Harguni means, we're not going to kill you, Yitzchak. We're not murderers here. We'll give you a position that in the Mela you'll die. We'll make you a rabbi. The Balabatim will drive you so crazy, they'll finish you off. We'll give you. We'll put you in the minefields, to defuse bombs. People who defuse bombs, something they don't last too long. Eventually, they make a mistake. They're not going to do it direct. They're not going to do something direct. You do something indirect, so no one can blame you. The king also, the corruption. Not going to outright be corrupt. You do it indirect. Okay, let's go further. Now we come to Pasuk Yud. Now, Pasuk Yud is a very beautiful Malbim. Pasuk Yud over here says what the role of a melech is. This is a very big question in general. What is the role of the melech? How does his role differ than the role of the Kohen Gadol? Now, we have to assume now that we're dealing with the melech. That's the assumption of it. We're dealing with the melech. And it says here, Mosne Tzedek, and this is all Psukim Parasha Shoftim, Mosne scales of Tzedek, the Eifas Tzedek, measurements. Mosen is a scale, and Eifa are the weights of Tzedek. An Eifa, or really a measurement of Tzedek, Ubas, and an Eifa is a solid, we'll see, it's 30, Eifa, I think it's, okay, we'll see in a moment, unfortunately, I forgot already, Ubas Tzedek, Ubas is a measurement of liquid, Yiyeh Lochem, Pasuk Yud Aleph from a Pasuk. What exactly are the measurements? Ho Eifa, the solid, the Habas, and the liquid, Tochen Echad Yeh, have one number. They have one measurement. What is the one measure? We'll see in a moment. Losseis, and they're going to use this Losseis to lift up Ma'asar HaChomer, the 10% of Chomer. Ma'asar HaChomer HaBos, 10% of a Chomer of the boss, Va'asiris HaChomer HaEifa, and 10% of the Chomer of the Eifa, of the solid measurement, El HaChomer, to the Chomer, Yiye Maskunto, shall be its number. Okay, there's a lot of words going on here in this pasuk, which require clarification. But just keep in mind a few things as we see in the Farshim. An Eifa is a solid measure, a Bas, a liquid measure. A Chomer normally means 30 saw. Okay, 30 saw is a Chomer, which we also use the word kor. There are two words which are used interchangeably, a core and a chomer. Both of them mean the same thing, 30 bushels. A saw, I don't have the exact, I don't know what the numbers are, and here we're dealing with 10%. And what is this 10% for? So seemingly it's going to be, that's what I told you, we started with today, the 10% is going to be, let's see the first, we'll go back, we'll see, let's just go slow. Pasuk Yud Aleph, in the Mitzvah of Mosne Tzedek, return Lema Lo Tasu Od Ovel B'Mishmar of Midah, the king should no longer be corrupt. Toichanechel Yeh, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Toichanechel Yud Aleph, Lema HaChashon Zeh Kichashon Zoh, or Ifah HaSius HaChomer, they shall be the same, the solid and liquid shall be exactly the same. B'Midas HaYavesh Ubas Bin Salach, they're exactly the same. These two measurements, the result should be the same, we'll see more. Law says, Lokachas esabas gzuntait, to take esabas ma'aser mechomer halach. So the chomer is your starting point. You start off with a chomer of liquid, and you remove a bas. What is a bas? A bas is 10% of the chomer. So if the chomer is 30, 10% is 3. So now we know that a bas is 3. A measurement of 3 from 30. V'yeso eifa. You take eifa. Maaser is 10% mechomer b'yovesh. Now we're going to see a little later on is that there's a hakpada that we're going to see soon that there's an enormous amount of depth in these psukim describing the economic system that will exist in Klal Yisrael in the times of Mashiach. This parak is a gold mine for economists, because Yechezkel here is presenting and economic principles.
The taxes too?
What?
Taxes.
Tax also, everything. Everything over here is hinted to. Now, there are many, that's why you have to go study all the Mefarshim inside out, get a real clear picture of what's going on, and there's a lot of disagreement. But it's obviously describing the economic system and how much is appropriate to give as taxes to the king, to the Kohanim, the Levim, the Chul, the Chul. The first thing he says that's very clear in the Sukkot is that the government has the power to manipulate the currency. They can inflate the value of coins that you know. Again, I don't think about economics, but you always hear on the news is that the Feds, they can raise the interest rates, they can lower the interest rates.
The Chinese are manipulating,
and then that's all relative to what's going on, the tariffs versus trade, other countries, imports, exports. There's a lot a government can do to influence the economy. And if the economy is sluggish, they can give the economy a boost by suddenly telling you how much your money is worth, the buying power of your purchasing power, and they have power if they want to put a cap on rent control, and they can say you can't sell a quart of milk for a certain amount of money. There's an enormous amount of power a government has to influence the economy. In many, many ways, you hear with Trump, he does NAFTA and this and that. Everyone's fighting and fighting and fighting. These are major. You go and you make one little change, the whole economy can collapse. It's a very delicate, very, very delicate system. It's clear as day from Chazal all over that Chazal, in their economic system, which obviously was very, very small relative to the world, made major changes in the purchasing power of currency. That a money, Chazal said, is a money, is a coin. A coin is in the Ashal Chol, and then there's a coin of Kodesh. A coin of Kodesh is double. The numbers, and I don't know what these things mean because I don't know economics. What?
I learned in the Gemara, I think, like they had a concept of old coins and new coins. The coins were like that.
Shekel Chodesh.
Yeah, today, in modern things, a dollar is a dollar, an old dollar, a new dollar. It can be rubbed out, the Fed will take it back.
We're in a very generous country. They take back, they replace dollar bills like every like 6 months, I heard, something like that. They take it off. But every country, every economy, history has changed. Currency today in general is going down the drain. Everything is electronic today. We're behind. The United States seems to be behind the times.
Cryptocurrency.
Okay, oh, that's an underground world. That's a very dangerous thing. Cryptocurrency can destroy the whole economy of the world. It's becoming so popular, so much sugar. The cryptocurrency, it's a sakana. It's not real. It's all make-believe. At least the dollar, I mean, at least the American economy is real. But it's frightening. This is something that could undermine the economy of the world, the cryptocurrencies that are out there today. Some people are making a lot of money. They're getting very rich from this, the whole mishugah. What? And somebody very poor. And there's a lot of all illegal activity today. It's the biggest problem for the governments because it's not traceable. It's not traceable. So it's a very big problem. I even know that your big yeshiva was hacked. Big yeshiva, I can't tell you. I'm not allowed to tell you. I know from inside information because I have someone who works there. They were hacked. And they demanded an enormous amount of money,
ransom money,
enormous yeshiva, big yeshiva. You would be shocked which yeshiva this is. And this yeshiva, they're good. Their systems are top of the line. They're really up to date. And they were hacked, and they demanded an enormous amount of money, and they really know what to do. And they figured, I guess, they spoke to the biggest, they, I know they consulted with the biggest experts in the field. And they said, just the simplest thing to do is just to pay the ransom.
Right.
And then we'll come in and we're going to redo your whole system. Otherwise, so they did. They paid the ransom with an enormous amount of money. And how did they pay the ransom?
In Bitcoin.
They demanded the Bitcoins.
Right.
So the guy who actually had to go to an ATM, a Bitcoin ATM machine in like Harlem somewhere to go and make this transaction, to go to save the yeshiva. He did it, and it worked. And they released, and then the systems came back online, and right away they brought in the biggest people in the field to revamp the systems. It shouldn't happen again.
They've been doing this in Borough against...
They're doing this all over the place.
The Jews have warehouses, the businesses.
All over the world are doing this.
It's a Russian gang is doing it.
Chesnish. But they did it to a yeshiva.
And they ruined it.
They just have that go back.
What? So crypto. So it's very fascinating over here. So here's a very fascinating economic principle. You have to ask the economists.
They should back up. They back up.
We do know that the government has a right to regulate certain interest rates or regulate certain things. So here it says an amazing concept that when the government, when you're going to change the measurements, which we're going to see very soon, when the king decides the economy is sluggish, we have to go and give more value to a coin by increasing its value by another greater percentage. There's a cap on how high they can go in manipulating the currency. And here's the bigger chiddush: you have to be consistent when you manipulate measurements for solids relative to measurements for liquids. Because you can argue, so that's exactly what this pasuk is telling you, according to most mepharshim, is that when the king decides he's going to change, let's make believe, the purchasing power of a solid, you also must change the equivalent regarding the liquids. Don't say, I'll only do the liquids and not the solids, or the solids, not the liquids. It's a rule. A rule from Hashem. I want you to manipulate the currency, but you have to be consistent between the solids and the liquids. That's the depth of this pasuk. There's the Eifa of the Habas. It says Teichen Echad Yeh. The deeper meaning of Teichen Echad Yeh means they always must be the same. They're always going to be 10% of a Chomer.
Standard.
What is a Chomer? Well, the Chomer can change. But whatever you do, if you want the chomer, maybe the chomer is the given, and the variable is going to be the bas and the eifa. Fine, you want to go and manipulate the bas, but one thing, whatever you're going to do, these two always must be on the same page. They always must be 10% of the chomer. That's very interesting, because in government, I'm sure there are many things they can manipulate. Is there ever such a thing in government where, talk to every economist, where there's a rule that when they manipulate one commodity, or that demands another commodity must follow in suit to be exactly the same? Any economists over here? You're an economist, no? You major in economics?
No.
Any major in economics? No economic majors? Can it be? Mayor, you didn't major in economics?
Yeah, I know how to take.
My father was a big economist. Yeah. My mother always used to complain to my father, if you're an economist, you want to stay in the economy, you should be filthy rich. You should be very wealthy. You should understand, you know, how all things work, and you should take advantage. It never worked.
Yeah,
exactly.
It didn't trickle
to me, for sure not. Okay. So this is the idea. Let's go back to the Mitzvah Stav. Back to Mitzvah Stavin. Pasuk Yidah Sechen Echad Yivar Salam HaChashun Zeh Ki Chashun Zeh. So that's it. Toich Cheshbon Zeh Chashun Zeh. And then Pasuk Yidah Alfa Mitzvah Stavin.
How could be the concept of unintended consequences?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Change,
If you change one thing, it's going to have an effect on something.
Right.
You have to really take that
as exactly. So maybe, but there's a chachma. Why are you changing something? Because you want to cause stimulation. So maybe there's a chachma. Let me change only this and not that. That will bring about the desired result. No, you may think like that, but Hashem says, I override your decision. I'm not allowing that. There has to be consistency between the solids and liquids. Obviously, these represent very deep ideas. What they represent, I mean, it's a field day for an economist to study the depth of what it says. And you always hear economists talking about Yosef. Yosef, my father always used to say, Yosef was the first economist. He would have won the Nobel Prize for economics. He came into Egypt.
He's a managed economy.
No, he changed the rules, whatever. He managed the economy. So he went and he set up a whole system. He relocated people and he did this, he did that, a fifth. And then when they gave him animals, there are many principles that he introduced. What was it, a capitalist society? Was it a socialist society? A communist society? What was it exactly? Study the commentators on what Yosef did in Egypt when Paro appointed him as viceroy. You're going to discover incredible principles in economics. If you're familiar with the principles of economics, you're going to see what's going on over there.
Where Babinel is very strong because
he was an economist.
In Spain.
Oh, that's what he was. He was the finance minister.
Very careful details.
He was the secretary of finance.
Right.
So he knew inside out. That's why he really went to town, the Babinel, on the parish of Yosef. It's kedai to go study the Babinel here, the Han Yecheskel. There must be, he has amazing things over here because here is even a bigger field day. Because this is talking about mamash from the Devar Hashem. The Devar Hashem Yecheskel, Yimos HaMashiach, the economy. You'll probably say, the economy of Yimos HaMashiach is not relevant to us. Because Yimos HaMashiach, it's a different, whole different world. It's a whole different world where people are honest. People are being Mavakshe Hashem. You know, so it's a whole different set of rules you need to abide by, a different system you need for a different group of people of a different time period. But in any event, we do have this set of rule, which is Ritzon Olam Cheshen Zuk Cheshen Zuk Ha'ifah Rasis Rech Chaymer B'bin Tzor Yavesh B'bin Tzor Lach L'Lach L'Aseis L'Kach Es Bas B'mais B'chaymer B'lach. To take a Bas, which is 10% of the Chaymer. Chaymer, the Chaymer Unol means a Chamor. The word Chaymer is the word which means it represents materialism. There's Chaymer and Tzura. It represents the most base object of this world is Chaymer.
Raw material.
This is going to be the exact amount. You see, hear my words. He even says the Mitzvahs. Im yosifu b'chaymer, yosifu gam bohem l'ficha erech. So too shall the bas automatically and the eifah go up and down. The bas and the eifah are relative to the chomer. The chomer is the starting point. If the melech decides we have a new translation for the word chomer, until now chomer was 30 saw. I have decided a chomer is now 50 saw. All of a sudden the markets will crash, right? All of a sudden, how much taxes do you have to give? What's called the bas? It's 10%. 10%. The bas never changes.
So one's a variable. And
right. One's a variable, one's a constant.
Right.
Correct.
And
one is a constant.
Same thing with stucco. You know, if you make more money.
Exactly. V'chein yichsu, they'll go down a price. Let's see Rashi pasugyot. Rashi reviews some of these ideas. That'd be a little bit different. Rashi Toichen Echad Lashon. Firstly, he translates the words. A lot of very hard vocabulary words in these psukim. Toichen. What is the word Toichen? It's a very hard word to translate. Really, it's all depends on the context. In this context, where Toichen means a number, it means the sum. Okay, the total sum. That's not always what it means. Toichen means its essence. Toichen can mean its content. Toichen here means the sum, the total sum. Lashon minyan, come over. Toichen levein tidnu. For example, the Torah of the Toichen levein lidnu. The number of bricks. How many? The quota. How many bricks do you have to produce every single day? Mida achas, a measure. Zo asiris lachomer shel yavesh. So this one is going to be a tenth of a chomer for yavesh. Shohu. So here Rashi adds what the Mitzudos did not tell us. Shohu shleishim se'in. A chomer is the same exact thing as the word kor. The word kor, really, it's kor with a cholam. And that is in the Gemara and in the Mishnayos a billion times. Okay, a kor. And it's not an Aramaic word. firstly, Mishnah is always Hebrew. Mishnah is always Hebrew. Make no mistake, Mishnayos are Hebrew. In fact, it's a very sophisticated Hebrew. If you want to learn Hebrew, you want to learn real Hebrew, not modern Hebrew, real Lashon Kodesh, you learn Mishnayos. Mishnayos, the sophistication of the language of Mishnah, is off the charts. And if you know, it's really a great tool to teach grammar, to teach, you know, it's really a lot of great to learn real Hebrew, because the Mishnayos, the very sophisticated usage of the words, especially in some of the Mishnayos, that were in all the Mishnayos, but even the ones, especially the ones we don't learn all that often, Tyrus and Kachem, but the word Kol is in the Mishnah all the time, and in the Torah, it says the word Chomer. Okay, so here it says Shloishim Se'in V'zoha Siris
Chomer Se'orim.
What?
I'm not thinking in the translation, but Zerah Chomer
Se'orim. Zerah, right, by the Ste'achuza. And in fact, it's going to say the word Kor in the Pasuk. Okay, go down to two Tzukim from now. We're going to have the word Kor again. So it's a very big Pasuk Yudalit. So it's a very big mystery. Why are we using two words which really mean, as far as Rashi is concerned, the same thing? Obviously, they're not the same, and obviously, there's something very deep going on over here in teaching you some economic principle or some something very interesting. Okay, but in any event, over here, Rashi just says very simply, it's Zohar Sirus, the Sirus Lachoymer Shal Yavishuhu. He tells us that it's Shaloishim Sein, the Zohar Sirus Lachoymer Halach, and then and this is then, and the other one, the word Bas, is 10% of a chomer of lach, which is the equivalent of 30 se'in of liquid of lach. Eifa v'habas l'shoin mida. These are measurements. Chomer, the next word, Rashi says, what is the chomer? The kor. He says, that's what a chomer is. It's exactly the word kor. Pasuk Yudal, what is it? Where you have over there a translation for this word? How do you even read the word? What's the, how do you read pronounce it?
Moid, which in Old French means a measure, which sounds very much
okay,
like
measure. Loses, kamo lokachas, v'chintigim yonisim l'nisav, to give. Loses ma'asar, to give 10% ha'chomer of the 30 sotiyeh, ha'bos. The bas, or the bos, is 10% of 30. V'chein asiris la'chomer yavesh o'efa, of dry, of his efa. El ha'chomer yeh maskunto. And what does those words mean? So his hard word.
Are they all volume measures?
I'm assuming so. So it's, I'm assuming it's volume. I'm assuming, yeah, it's volume. So sukum, though, here the last words of the pasuk are difficult. The word maskuntu again means skum. Cheshbon habas v'eifa lefi goydel ha'chomer yiyeh. Okay, it should not change. Im yosifu ba'chomer, yosifu ba'bas. Im yifchasu mizeh, yipachasu mizeh, sheyichavein ma'asroi loy. So the bas and the eifa is meiser. What do we need the word meiser for? You're giving meiser for who? You're giving meiser for this week's parasha. This week's parasha, when it says the Yitzhak, he measured me'o sh'odim. What does Rashi say? Why did he even bother to make the calculation? Ein habrocha mitzuya el hadavar hasamay min ha'ayin. So, l'maisrais. Yitzhak, the reason why he made a calculation of how much the land produced was because he had to give meiser. Who did he give meiser to? Good question. Who's shame ve'ever? Mistama, shame ve'ever. It's a shame. He gave meiser. So therefore, he had to make a calculation to know what to give. So therefore, the ba, the chomer is the constant, and the eifa is the the other way around. The other way around is that, I mean, it's hard. It's all relative. But the chomer can change. But although the chomer changes, the bas and the eifa is always going to be 10% of whatever the chomer and the eifa is. Okay. So as an el chomer yem amaskuta. So to the chomer and the eifa. It will be yiyeh maskunta. We'll read the pasuk again in a moment. We'll all relate to that number. Okay. Now before we come back and translate the pasuk for the last time, I just want to point out over here. Let's just learn the pasuk one more time. Then we'll do a very important malbim. I think this malbim over here is an amazing malbim. Let's just read the pasuk one more time to get a little more clarity. So pasuk Yidalf again says, let's read again. This ha'efa v'habas tochen echad yiyeh. Powerful words. These two are always going to be the same. They're always going to be 10% of something else. Never ever fluctuate. Never make the Eifa 9% and the Bas 11%. They always have to be exactly the same. law says for the purpose of using these measures to lift up, to remove ma'asar, 10% ha-choymer ha-bos of liquids, va'asiris, and 10% ha-choymer ha-oifa. And then it says, the last words, el ha-choymer yemas kunta, which means that is that they are constants. The eifa and the bas are constants in regard to this, that they are 10% relative to the choymer, which is a variable, which can change, whatever it changes, at least in the numbers. So to the choymer yemaskunto, both the bas and the eifa have to be fixed relating to the variable, to the choymer, which can always change. That is the simulating of the pasuk. Now, Malam over here seems to tell us, answer the big question, the million-dollar question, what is the role of the melech? Is the role of the melech to be a spiritual leader? Is the role of the melech to be oisik building bridges? Is the role of the melech to be oisik in mishpan? You see, it's very, very hard to get a grasp of what exactly the role of the melech is. Because every king had their own specialty. David seemed to be, his role as melech seemed to be in Mulchama. I mean, think about it. You go, I don't. What?
Expansion.
Warrior. Go study Sefer Shmuel. It's all about war. He's the one that was the Noisei Caleb of Shaul. He's the one that got killed Goliath. He's the one that expanded the land. David's involved the whole day in Melchama. He was the big warrior. Shlomo, he was the big judge. He liked to sit the whole day in court. The Chochmas, Solomon's wisdom. What was it called? Solomon's wisdom. He sat the whole day, and people came to him the whole day. He had a throne, Mishpat, and he would sniff them out. That was his forte. Other kings, he get a sense they were more spiritual. Yoash, he was the king. Where did he grow up? And the Kodesh from the above. He got so carried away with his spirituality, so he's the son. I'm going to bring Ketores. My time has come. I'm going to be like a Kohen Gadol. I'm going to bring Ketores. And when he brought Ketores, there was an earthquake. He got Saras. That was the end. The fact that he even had a Hasaga and he came to that point, it shows that he viewed himself as the spiritual leader. What about the Kohen Gadol? Yeah, he's also a spiritual leader. You have two Rosh Hashivas. One is the Mashkiach, and one is every yeshiva has a Mashkiach. Today there's no thing anymore, but there used to be in the European yeshivas, there was a Mashkiach, and there was a Rosh Yeshiva. What? So that's very controversial. Very controversial. You just said, I should really turn off the tape recorder. I can't, because on this, I'm going to tell you a story. My mother will kill me for saying this. So I'm going to turn this off. I put it back on now. But in some of the traditional, yeshivas, there was a Rosh Yeshiva and a Mashkiach, and they had kimat, equal roles. And I mean, you read about this, and some of the yeshivas, is that the Rosh Yeshiva was Kula Torah, but this Musar, the Litvisha yeshivas, there was a big machlokes in general, did the Litvisha yeshivas need to learn Musar? It seems that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik held no Musar. He held that Musar is for sick people. And in yeshiva, we're not sick. In yeshiva, we're healthy. We're healthy, and therefore you don't need Musar, and it's a waste of time. And it was the time, it's a bit of Torah. You're Isaac, and you're Isaac in Torah, you kula. Many Gedolim disagreed. Saul Salanta obviously disagreed. He held you have to have Torah, and you have to devote an equal amount of time to Musar Nashkafa. Okay, it was a very big debate, a very big controversy. And the Mashkiach's role is to be the Musar, and the Rashiva's role is Kula Torah, and they're completely separate roles. Who has more power? So you should know, many yeshivas, it was a power struggle. Some Talmidim gravitated towards the Mashkiach, and they viewed him as the role model at the top, and some would gravitate towards the Rosh Shiva, and they felt he was the role. In America today, there's no Musa. It doesn't exist. It's like they say they do it, I'll tell you something very nasty, I'll have you tape again, the real heavy deal. You don't see it today, I'm sorry to tell, you don't see today yeshivas teaching Musa. You don't see it. I'm sorry. You learn Torah and you hold it. You learn Torah, Samela, people, some Musa will sink in, people on their own will sink in. So today you don't hear in this yeshiva, he's the Mashkiach, and the Mashkiach has a Shei Mamish, has a legacy. The last Mashkiachim you have were like, if Desta was the Mashkiach, was it Rav Dessler, the other, I don't know all the names. Look, he should be good and well, Rav Matas Yosef Solomon. So he's the Mashkiach, he was hired as the Mashkiach of Lakewood, what?
Rav Kalbach.
That's fair. You should know that was part of the problem. Okay, I can't go into all the politics, but going back is, what is the role of the Melech? Is the role of the Melech to fight wars? Is the role of the Melech to be a spiritual leader in together with the Kohen Gadol? Is the role of the Melech to be a judge? Is the role of the Melech to lead the economy? To lead the economy, to go, that's what Trump very much enjoys doing. I'm going to make deals. I'm going to negotiate deals. I'm going to bring the economy back. You know, the Trump, every president, you make out of whatever you want. He very much, you see, he really takes pride in that. To bring the business perspective into the country. Fantastic. So here we have an incredible, incredible Malbim, which appears to be saying the role of the Melech is to ensure, though it's not justice, it's to ensure that there's no corruption in business. It's not like Shlomo. There's wrongdoing. There's Dinei Torah. It's not to lead the economy. It's to make sure, as the pasuk says, Mosneid Sedek, Ve'efa Sedek, Bat Sedek Yelochem. Look at the Malbim. Pasuk Yud. Mitzave Lahanesim Sheyash Gichu. This is their role. This is all it says here. I mean, it's amazing. It's the first thing it says over here when Mashiach comes. And now we have a Melech. So what is he going to do, the Melech? You sing Kollel? What is he going to do? Make wars? There are no more wars to be fought. We would do Kiruv V'chaikim?
To maintain the system.
So it's more than maintain the system. It's to Sheyashkichu, yes, see his words, to pay attention. Al Hamidois, Sheyiyu B'tzedek. Shezeh Michlal, it's included Nasias Mishpat. It's really a specialty of Mishpat. It's a specialty of Mishpat. This is something, you know, you have the inspectors. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the Melech, he makes policies, and then you go hire some lackeys to go make sure, to monitor, to go into the stores to make sure the scales are right. No, you know who's coming to inspect the scales? The Melech is coming himself to inspect the scales. That's his primary role. It's a very interesting look.
That's why the Abarbanel on the Pasuk of Vayigash, when Yosef says to his brothers, tell his father, Vayisimeni Liyav, Moshe, Oli Adon, Lechol Mitzrayim, Moshe, Lechol Ashalom. He uses all three languages.
All three. All the rules.
He is all encompassing.
Very interesting.
He's accomplishing everything.
All the different. Fascinating.
Between Av, Adon, and Moshe.
Fascinating. All the different dimensions of what a Melech represents. And each Melech obviously took for himself a certain role in history, where their strong points are, and they made out of it. And then it's general. You personally have a role, a high position, you can make out of it whatever you want. The president can make out of his, the United States, Lahavil can make out of his role whatever he wants. A president of a university, okay, why Yeshiva University? Every time they have a new president, it's always, who are they going to take for the president of Yeshiva University? Is it going to be like, you can make out of it whatever you want? Whatever you want. You don't want to do fundraising, so you hire. So go hire 20 fundraisers, and you go and you do whatever you want. You want to be the fundraiser, so you'll be the fundraiser. You want to do this. You want to, you know, everyone can make out of your position whatever you want, as long as you have that room, you have that leeway. So here it says, Moshe goes lo sasu el b'mishkol, bring the b'mishkol, v'yomu chazal, b'sifrei b'basha, shetzarech lahamid memunim al zeh lo achin hizir es hanasi sheyashkiach al hamuznayim sheshak lemuchem es hamat. He is in charge of integrity. That's the primary role. Integrity. Role of the Melech. Fascinating. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Let's see, do one pasuk. One pasuk very quickly. Pasuk, this sounds like pasuk Mamash Kisis of Yashekel. Now we tell you the shekel coin, Eshem Gera. Okay, this is very key. We have to just start a little bit. I don't have time to do the whole thing. A shekel, there's a lot of economics in this pasuk. A shekel is Eshem Gera is 20 Gera. And then it's that's what a shekel is. What is a gera? A gera, we learn in Chumash, is the size of a barley seed. It's silver, it's a piece of silver, and it's the size basically of a thing of a barley seed. So you take 20 of those barley seeds, and that is what is called a shekel, a silver coin. And we actually know how much it is today. Today there are a lot of calculations of if you take 20 barley seeds, how much weight of silver you have, and that, of course, you have to look up every single day. The value of silver is always in a state of flux. But we pretty much have an idea of what a shekel is, and the starting point is a gera, again, which I believe is the equivalent of a barley seed. And then it goes on to say esrim shkalim, 20 shkalim, chamisha. A gera yashakel, S 20 is 20, 20 then. 20 gera is a shekel. Now, then it goes on to say esrim shkalim, chamisha v'yashrim shkalim, 25 shkalim, asav chamish shkalim. Make up your mind. Is it 20? Is it 25? Or is it 15? It says all three. And then it says all three together, hamane yilachem. All three together equal 100. Mane always means 100. Now, I'm not good at math, but as far as I know, last I've checked in my calculator, when you add up 15 and 20 and 25, it adds up to 60. It doesn't add up to 100. So what's going on over here? What's going on? The whole pasuk over here is very bizarre. Starts off, shekel is 20 gerah, 20 barley seeds. And then, now you know what a shekel is, I'll give you three different types of combinations. 25 shekelim, 20 and 15, and together they add up to 100 shekelim. Mitzudos.
A full, 100%. Everything.
Money does not mean, money means 100.
Yeah, I understand, but
not 100%. It means 100. So I hear you saying. Let's see the Mitzvah stuff. It says, Pasuk Yudbeis, Via Shekel, Mishkal HaShekel, yeah, the weight. Okay, so make no mistake, this means the weight of the Shekel, yeah, Eshem Geirah, shall be 20 Geirah. He does not, what is the Geirah? So over here, he writes over in the Mitzvah, Tzion Geirah Shem Adbea Ma, it's a Ma. What's a Ma? He doesn't tell us what a Ma is. It basically, I think it's barley seed, a barley grain. Now, Eshem Shkal, now right here, the Mitzvah explains, everyone says about the same thing. Bizmanahu hoya mishkal, that time of Mashiach. Bizmanahu hoya mishkal, miyuchad bifnei atzmai. He says there are going to be three coins. Look like today in America we have a penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, a half dollar, and a dollar. So why do they do that? Why? Well, I mean, it's all pretty modern, or how the whole currency system evolved. And soon enough, probably in our lifetime, they're going to be mevatel the pennies. Pennies, right? They're going to be mevatel the pennies. I'm shocked. I go to a store. I give them. They tell them they charge me. I went to a store yesterday. I'm not going to tell you which store I went to. Not a Jewish store. It was like whatever, $10.42. So I give them $10, and instead of giving them $11, so I take it out of my pocket. I have some loose change. I gave him 45 cents, and the guy doesn't give me change. I gave him 45 cents, and it says on the thing $10.42. Okay, the 3 cents, believe me, it's not going to make a difference to me. But, you know, it's Gezel. It's your obligation to give me the 3 cents. I'm like, no. You're like, shocking, right? Shocking. It's Mamish Gezel. This is a non-Jew. A non-Jew, by the way, is Chayav Misa for Gezel, Pachas, Mishra Pruta. The shocking thing to me was that some Jews do this also. In some Jewish stores. Now, this store, there was a Goyish store. I'm not going to say it's a Goyish store in the neighborhood. It's a totally Goyish store. But what's shocking to me is that sometimes I go to a Jewish store and they do the same thing. And that's very disturbing because a Jew should have the sensitivity. You don't do that. I mean, again, no one needs the 3 cents. Okay, it's not going to make anyone a difference. We know that. But it's if you're not honest in 3 cents, it means you're not honest in $1 million also. If you'll go and you'll steal someone's 3 cents, you know, the slippery slope is not so far. You'll come and you'll steal from someone $1,000 as well. It's a very disturbing thing. I talked once, we went to a store, there was an old store many years ago. There was a store, a grocery store, many years, grocery store. And then this young guy, and the person owning the grocery store, he was ready, he was an older fellow. He had enough of it already, I saw. And then these yuppies, they were probably in their 20s, they decided to go into business. And they figured this is a great location, they're going to buy him out. And they obviously had a lot of money to invest, and they bought him out. And this guy always complained, he can barely make a living. He was so happy they bought him out. And these yuppies, like 20, 22-year-olds, they took over the store, they made all these changes, they renovated, they made beautiful different products. Hulu v'chulu. Fine, okay, so I go in there to buy my regular cheese Danish, like once a week I go in there to buy a cup of coffee, whatever. The first time I go in there, and there's and either him or wherever the people was there, and it was the same thing, and it was the change was two cents or 1 cent, and he didn't give me back the 2 cents. Wow. Okay, he gave me back change, he didn't give me back the extra penny. I don't care, the penny, the next day. I was very surprised. I was very surprised because the other guy who was there, Zokain, he was a Zokain, Hasidish guy, he never did that. He always gave me back the, you know, the 2 cents, 1 cent. It bothered me. And it was years ago. And sure enough, very, very soon, they went out of business. Very, very soon. Interesting, you know, it's interesting, the honesty in business. So here, it says over here, we have 20 shkol.
Ask the salesman, can I cheat you out of 2 cents? You give him less.
I'm not going to fight with them. I'd rather pick my fight with someone else. I don't want to fight. I'll fight with Mayer. It's much more geschmack. We can fight over the whole world. With him, I can fight over who's, you know, everything. If I want to fight over Michal, who's going to be the next president? Much bigger, control the whole world. 2 cents, not going to die to fight. Much bigger things than that. All right, we're out of time over here, so I have to really pick this up next time. We're getting too distracted. Next time, we'll pick this up.